In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to look today at this sixth Sunday in Easter time, which has a couple of its own complexities. Sixth Sunday in Easter time has its own readings. However, if the Feast of the Ascension is moved so that it's not on the Thursday after the sixth Sunday, then we have a choice. That is, if it's celebrated on the 12th of May in this year, then it means that the readings for that day have been pushed out to make room for the readings of the Ascension. However, the Church makes provision that if you want, here on this sixth Sunday, you could put them in rather than the ones that are there. I'll explain that as we go on. So that we're going to go through the Mass, and then I'll have to stop and go back and comment on the alternate second reading and gospel that we're allowed to put in at this point, because of the way that the Ascension has been moved to a Sunday, which is true, for instance, in the diocese I'm in Washington. So the next Sunday, the Sunday after where we are, we have the Ascension of the Lord. It'll be on the 12th of May. So the only way to do this is to go through the sixth Sunday in Easter time and then comment on the other two readings so that they're available if you want to use them on this day, because you won't get a chance on the Sunday that's replaced by the Ascension. I suppose all that's clear. I hope it is. Anyway, we're going to begin. First thing I want to talk about in this opening section, when I usually sort of just have a reflection before we begin the actual text. The Holy Spirit guides the Church. The Holy Spirit guides the believers. And one of the signs of beginning to mature in the spiritual life is to be aware of the movement of the Spirit. I once knew a very famous spiritual director, a very great mystic himself, dead now, gone to heaven. But for him, the way to judge where somebody was in their own walk with the Lord was to ask them how they relate to the Holy Spirit. Now, I should think, given the predominance in the West of looking to Jesus, that some people are not aware of what the Holy Spirit wants to do to make himself known, to make himself a delight within the spirit of the believer, and to direct him or her. And so it's very important to understand this. See, the Church is led by the Spirit. We had a Vatican II Council clearly the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, he works within the clay of humanity, but that council, as we now start to see, was absolutely essential for the continued existence of the church. If we hadn't had it, where would be the liturgy as intelligible to people? Where would be all the scriptural renewal? Where would be all the documents that talk about social action, about the church in the modern world, about the priesthood, about ecumenism? All of these would not exist had it not been from that charismatic moment when John the 23rd was instructed by the Lord to call a council. Hadn't been one since Vatican I, and nobody was thinking of a council. We've got our stuff pretty well in order, and we're going to go ahead with it this way. And John came along, moved by the Holy Spirit. He expressed his desire to have this council as something from the Lord to Cardinal Tardini, who was a very conservative person. And as soon as he heard it, according to John the 23rd, he said, "That's it. You are supposed to do that. We should get started right away." And so, on the Feast of St. Paul, in that year, might have been 1959, I guess it was, he announced, he was out at St. Paul's outside the walls, and he announced the council. Think of the church now, under pressure in so many parts of Europe and United States, with the HA's mandate, with all the other things, the corruption of morality, the flagrant sexual excesses. Where would the church be if we hadn't had that action of the Holy Spirit? And so the Spirit guides the church, but the Spirit also guides every Christian, and in a particular way, every priest. And so I'm going to look at some quotes. This is from an article by Father Yves Congar in a three-volume work, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just talk about some of these quotes to show you the awareness of the Holy Spirit. I'll first tell you, it's something Congar said. After Vatican II had finished the document on the church, he was speaking with Alexander Skrima, a Greek Orthodox theologian. He said, "Well, what do you think of our document on the church?" He said, "It's very fine. If we in the Orthodox tradition were to put out a document on the church, you see, all we would talk about is anthropology and the Holy Spirit. That's the church." So you see that both approaches are very fruitful and can be combined, but they're different. So here, this is St. Irenaeus. We used to call the Son and the Spirit the two hands of the Father. I just want to read a couple of quotes for you. "God will be glorified in the work fashioned by him when he has made it resemble and conform to his Son. For by the hands of the Father, that is, through the Son and the Spirit, man is made into the image and likeness of God." The whole Trinity fashioned Adam so that he is the image of God. You see? Another text also from Irenaeus. "During all this time, man, fashioned in the beginning by the hands of God, I mean by the Son and the Spirit." And so, this awareness of the presence and activity of the Spirit, when that's failing, we must really ask the Lord to instruct us as to how to grow. The first way we grow in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is to stop sinning. So long as we're living a sensual life, distracted by the TV, having, you know, too much to eat, too much to drink, complaining all the time about the bishop or somebody. You see, we're very fleshly, and we're not really being moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to change all that, and He can. The key is to begin with a real prayer life, and I mean an hour a day, at least. For us priests, that's survival equipment, given what we're going to be doing all day. And the souls that we're going to be meeting, and the people, and their wounds, and their sadnesses, and their sicknesses, and their divorces, and their worry about their children. Where are we going to get the resources to support them so that they give their lives to the Father in Christ, unless we're doing that? And therefore, the primary way to acquire the Holy Spirit, which is the whole object of life according to St. Simeon, is to acquire the Holy Spirit, is a life of prayer that is so necessary. We have to fight for it. Now the key, and you've heard me say this 100 times, I've learned it, that's why I think it's so important, you have to go to bed on time, because you've got to get up and have some time for prayer before the day begins. I try to get my own hour in then, say 5:30 to 6:30, something like that. I don't have to go to a lot of meetings at night. Baruch Hashem, that the Hebrews would say, thank God. But we've got to get up and pray and listen to the Lord and mull over for a few minutes at least the gospel and the reading that we're going to have at the daily mass, so we can share something with the people. And so you see, this idea that the church is moved by the Spirit comes down individually to whether we are moved by the Spirit. And you know, there are moments when, you know, we're moved and we're trying our best and we're tired and we're distracted, and the last person that talked to us was chewing us out, and now we've got to do a marriage or got to do something, and we're not ready. You see, to be able to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, purify my heart, get rid of these aberrant emotions, let me concentrate on what the Lord Christ is going to do in and through these two, and let it be a marriage that is grafted into Christ. We need to do that. And for that, we need this awareness of the Holy Spirit, who is always there with us. And as I say, the great spiritual directors usually estimate somebody's progress in the spiritual life by the way they relate to the Holy Spirit. So let us make a resolution that right now, in this time of difficulty and darkness, that we are led by the Spirit for our own sake and for the sake of the Church. Amen.